train that's moving in that direction is going to be derailed entirely. There's a responsibility. Imam Hussein did his responsibility. The Ahlul Bayt continued with that. We mentioned this, I think, before, and it's to get to a point where we can understand the ziyarat of Arba'een. Yazid, after seemingly through the massacre of Karbala winning that battle, arrogantly took the household of Imam al-Husayn from city to city to score more victories, to show off and to express his arrogance. The work of the Ahlul Bayt, the work of the Lady Zainab, the work of the women and children, the work of Imam Zain al-Abidin changed the scene to where Yazid had to apologize. Yazid had to blame it on Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Yazid had to find ways to say this is not something that he wanted to do, and that whatever part of it is his fault, he wants to apologize, he wants to repent, and so on. Once this became a liability, the massacre of Karbala that he thought was a great victory and he wanted to show it to the world became an ugly scene that he was blamed for. The next step that he would want to have would be to wash the sin away, to make sure everybody forgets this, to make sure no one remembers this, no one remembers who did this and what happened there. We understand that from that point onwards, when this, through the efforts of the Ahlul Bayt, it didn't happen on its own, that the scene changed and it became something that Yazid would want to run away from, the responsibility became to keep this alive, to make sure it is remembered, in order to continue that legacy and for people to remember that for all the reasons that we know and more. We mentioned in a talk in Karbala regarding this, and I don't want to go over the entire subject that was discussed, but one point that we can take from here already, which is not the what we're discussing tonight, we have to mention this in order to get to the point. This was a move against Kufr. Kufr was making sure to have people forget what happened in Karbala. What the Lady Zainab and the women and children and Imam Zain al-Abidin did in going to Karbala was to fight Kufr. We've got to go against Kufr. This is the direct order of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم. You need to fight the kuffar and you need to fight the munafiqeen. It's a command, direct order in the Quran. The kuffar are moving in a certain direction. You've got to fight them, or rather it should be said, if I want to put it out the way it actually is, Islam, prophets are moving in a direction, kuffar are fighting you, you need to fight back. This is an order that we have. Of course, the combat is not military. It doesn't say قاتل الكفار والمنافقين. It doesn't say to fight with military conflict, in a military conflict, using weapons, whether the traditional swords and arrows and spears and so on, or the modern weaponry that's there. That's qital. The verse doesn't say قاتل الكفار والمنافقين. It says جاهد الكفار والمنافقين. Jihad is to strive hard, make sure what they're trying to do doesn't happen, If they come forward with military war, then fighting them back requires you to fight back with military force. If they come forward and they fight not with one of the souvenirs of Karbala is the cough. Every year, whoever goes has that. Recite another salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. Whenever they come, in whatever form, we've got to fight them and make sure what they're trying to accomplish, thank you very much, it does not happen. When they want to make Karbala be forgotten, you've got to make sure that it is not forgotten. All right, that's understood. The Ahlul Bayt did that. But there's different ways of doing that. We know when they went to Medina, Imam Zain al-Abidin didn't just enter the city. They didn't just say, okay, you know, we're tired, let's get back home and get back to life. No, Imam Zain al-Abidin made sure he makes an impression upon arrival. So that, again, the reminder of Karbala, the reminder of the massacre, telling people what it was like, what they did, and do it in a way that's very effective. Nobody is going to forget this day. That's a way of doing it. Perhaps from Sham, they could have directly gone to Medina and made an impression in that way. That would have also reminded people, that would have also... it seems, from our judgment, maybe that would have been a way of doing it. Why go to Karbala? What's the importance of the visit, of the scene of the massacre? That's what Karbala is. It's not just graves of the Ahlul Bayt. It's not the grave site of Imam Hussein. It is, but it's not only that. It's the scene of the massacre. It is where it all happened. Why go there? If it's about keeping the memory alive, perhaps, thinking, perhaps this would have been possible by just going to Medina, making an impression upon arrival, the way you do it, and the way, but the Ahlul Bayt show us that no, that's not enough. It is not enough. Visiting Karbala is important for that. Mentioning Imam al-Hussein, mentioning the sacrifice, mentioning what the enemies of Islam did, what Imam Hussein was trying to do, what Yazid was trying to do, that whole scene, talking about it, shedding tears and knowing about it, that whole package that comes with talking and discussing what happened there, the emotional aspect, the political aspect, all of that. Doing that outside of Karbala without a visit is not enough. This is what we understand. From the visit that they made, we understand that it's not enough to just go to other places, talk about it. It is a must and it is important to go to Karbala. The other thing we understand is that it was important for it to have happened right away. It was urgent. Don't wait for the following year. Don't wait for some other occasion. As soon as they were allowed to leave, they left towards Karbala. Their arrival, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen on the 40th. But in terms of how it was planned, it wasn't like on the 11th. They planned for them to arrive on the 40th. The way conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those conditions happen, they left Sham, they ended up arriving on the 40th. What we take from that is as soon as it was possible to go back, don't waste any time. Go over there. Visit.
to see. Why? Why was that necessary? Why was it necessary so quickly? You can't wait for another year. You can't wait for another occasion. As soon as it's possible, go and visit the scene. Now, I've mentioned this before. We don't see any hadith, and there's definitely not a verse that directly addresses this matter. We don't see hadith, the Ahlul Bayt, telling us why. We have been given what they did, and we're trying to analyze, we're trying to understand by thinking about what was happening and what were probably the reasons why this happened, so we can learn from that. We're told to do this. We're supposed to be thinking of what the Ahlul Bayt did, why they did it. There are probably many reasons that we have to spend time thinking about. You think about it yourself. There's one thing that comes to mind, and I would like to share. Recite a salawat, please. The urgency of the visit to Karbala. Why the Ahlul Bayt made sure they went there that year. At least one of the aspects of that has to do with the point we mentioned, and that we talked about it extensively in Karbala, which is going against kufr. Kufar have a certain plan to do things, to go against the movement. It is important to identify what that is and to make sure you combat it. And in doing so, time is very important. Things are time sensitive. Yes, they could have gone to Karbala the following Arba'in, but the effect of the visit of Karbala in the following year's Arba'in would not have been the same as the visit right there and then. Recite another salawat. Allah, salli ala Muhammad. Let's see if this cough lets us bring this discussion to an end. Recite another salawat, please. Visiting Karbala the following year would not have had the same impact. Time is of essence. Time is important. If you miss the time, you're not going to have the effect. If Imam al-Husayn missed that time, right after Muawiyah, he got up and left for Mecca, from there towards Kufa, he didn't waste any time. He didn't say, okay, and it wasn't, for those who have read that history, that the governor of Medina wanted to kill Imam al-Husayn. That's not the reason why he left. He didn't waste any time. If he wanted to, he could have remained in Medina. He could have bought time. He could have done things. He didn't. As soon as the news came and was confirmed that Muawiyah died, he didn't waste any time. He went and started publicly talking about it and encouraging people to rise. He didn't waste any time. Right? People didn't understand the sensitivity of that time, so they told Imam Hussein, this is not the time, we shouldn't do this. Imam Hussein says, it is. Even though there were very few followers, very few people that joined him, it was still the time. He went with the few people. He made sure he does not allow for Yazid's rule to start as a legitimate rule. Right from the beginning, create this barrier and create this question, at least in the minds of people, of legitimacy. Time was important. That time was very important. You miss that time, you can't get that across.
You miss that time, and people are not able to take on board that question that is created. There will be other questions, the point will be lost. Going to Karbala for the visit, at that time, right when it was possible, as soon as it was possible to go back, that was very important, it was of essence. The reason why it was of essence, of course, I can't really think of. There's things that can be said, but I can't say with full confidence. The very fact that they left as soon as possible tells us it was important, and the point we can take clearly of it is sensitivity of the time. And take that moment, don't lose it, don't allow the difficulties, the hardships, the struggle, you're tired, it's been an ongoing battle, there hasn't been any ease. Don't allow any of that to make you lose sight of the importance of the moment. So I can't tell you exactly what it was, why it was. What we take clearly is that it was important. Otherwise, it would have gone and rested. Imam Zainabi would have sent people, go do ziyarah. But you guys go do ziyarah. No, Zainab with the family and everyone had to go back to Karbala. Recite salawat, please. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us. Help us be able to take this lesson from the Ahlul Bayt. Not only the lesson of being able to tell when is the right time. Shayateen come and try to get in the way. Again, let's not forget all the points that were mentioned. This is not just doing something. It's kuffar doing something against Islam. You've got to fight back. You have to know exactly when to strike and how to do that. Shayateen will try to whisper in your ears. The shayateen of jinn, shayateen of ins, who are not necessarily the kuffar themselves. The shayateen of ins could be in the form of believers. They seem like believers. They'll come and try to tone you down. This is not the time, brother, sister, this is not the time. They're going to do this to us, they're going to do that to us. We shouldn't make our center a target. We shouldn't make our community a target. We're already a target. Brother, sister, wake up. You're a target. If you're a Muslim, you're a target. If you're a follower of the Ahlul Bayt, you're a bigger target. If you didn't want it, leave it. You can't be a follower of Hussein and not be a target. It's just not possible. Imam Hussein didn't go after them. They came after Imam Hussein. You're going to be a target. The only way not to be a target is for Hussein to say, okay, here, let's do bayah. Let's forget the deal that we had with your dad, with Muawiyah. Let's forget all that. Just go with the flow. Everybody pledge allegiance. We'll pledge allegiance as well. We don't want to make ourselves a target. That's the only way you're not going to be a target. You want to be the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib? You're going to be a target. That's just how it is. You are a target. Let's not make our communities targets. I don't know what that means. We have to identify what they're doing, what we need to do against that. Make sure at the right time we say what is necessary. We don't lose that moment. That in and of itself, and then in addition to that, this happens, brothers and sisters, when there's an ongoing battle. It's not a military conflict. It's just that every time you come from an overseas trip, they're just going to give you a heck of a time. They're going to ask you stupid questions, redundant questions. make you wait. One brother was saying his experience was they made him wait once for 16 hours. Okay. 16 hours, what for? Nothing, just to give you a heck of a time. All right. Why? What will tire you down? You have certain energy, you have certain thoughts, they make note of that. Oh, this guy is speaking in this way. All right, we'll give him, won't imprison him, we don't have it. We'll do these things. Gradually, over time, people get tired of it. And for how long do you want to do this? Family gets tired. Dad, every time you want to go abroad or coming in, we have this situation here. Tone it down. You know, why do you have to talk about this stuff? Why do you have to be in this situation? Why do you have to support this group? Why do you have to support that group? You get tired. When you get tired, sometimes you give up entirely. Sometimes you don't necessarily give up entirely, but just tired enough not to see that moment. It's a must for us to push harder. We have to do this after this one strike, then we can rest for a bit. After this one strike. The Ahlul taught us this. In this ziyarat of Arba'in. Despite the fact that I can't get this across, you just picture everything that you know about the Ahlul Bayt coming to Karbala, experiencing Karbala, moving or being moved in that difficult way to Kufa, and then from Kufa, city to city, going, being taken the long trip. They could have gone directly to Damascus, but no, city to city. And then arrive in Damascus with all the difficulties there. Then you have a moment. Okay, you did everything, alhamdulillah. The scene has changed. Now everybody thinks Yazid was wrong and they're getting on to him. Saying things. People are against him. Now Yazid is turning around and saying, okay, wherever you want, I'll send you with honor. And you're like, okay, alhamdulillah, let's go back to Medina. No, don't lose sight. There's something else we got to do here. We have to go to Karbala again. As tired as you are, don't lose. As long as there is a responsibility that I need to be aware of, I need to realize what it is, do it. Once I'm done with it, if there is time, then you can rest. This is what the Ahlul Bayt did, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, on all the children that went through this willingly with their sacrifices. All the women that were there went through this willingly. They sacrificed. And Imam Zain al-Abidin salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, inshallah, he gives us the tawfiq, he guides us, he helps us to be able to follow him in that. Sallallahu alayki ya Abu Abdullah. As-salamu alaykum ya Allah's peace. some blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your home that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out. Sallallahu alayk ya صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشان The water was right there was not given any. He was martyred while his lips were dry. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawlai. Imagine Zainab coming back to Karbala. Oh brother, it was nice to be able to see your head. Don't ask me what happened on the trip. Don't ask me where your daughter is. You were there. You saw what she said to you. She probably said, oh brother, pray that I come to you soon. I can't take this life without you. Her prayers were answered about a year after Karbala. The lady Zainab joined her brother. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أن منقلبين ينقلبون يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Zaina le paat ke roi.